We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
From KMOX Sports.
Okay, boys, here we go.
Welcome to the Graybar Sports Open Line.
Those mid swings, and he hits a drive. He hits a slammer.
Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
Here we go.
Now, Matt Pauley on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
All right, man, let's get going here.
Here we go.
Let's go.
Well, I always feel like I'm disappointing the listenership because it's not Matt Pauley tonight. It's Joe Pott in for Matt Pauley for one more night. So glad you're with us here tonight on KMOX, the Graybar Sports Open Line. Easy for me to say. Back here for night number two for me this week. As I said, Matt Pauley will be back later this week. So you've got me tonight, and here is what we have for you coming up tonight. We're going to, well, like we did last night, kind of mix it up a little bit. Rob Raines will get us started. After the first break, we'll talk Cardinals baseball with Rob Raines. We'll talk to Randy Mullman in the 6 o'clock hour as well. Mizzou had their spring game over the weekend. He is, of course, the PA man for Mizzou football. We'll talk about that. We'll talk a little NCAA tournament with Randy also. St. Louis City on the docket tonight, so we'll talk with Tom Timmerman. He comes up at 7:20, and then some college basketball at the most appropriate time. We'll talk with Ken Pomeroy, of course, KenPom.com. That comes up at the end of the 7 o'clock hour. So that's where we have, that's what we've got for you tonight. We'll start things off with a little Blues as they get going tonight, 7 o'clock. They've got the Avalanche in town. We talked a lot of Blues last night with Lou Korak. Want to let you hear a little bit from Drew Bannister from After the Morning Skate today. First of all, the Blues lines for tonight, they've changed it up a little bit, and it's something they did in the last game. He changed the lines midway through the game against the Ducks. So Brandon Saad's on the second line with Pavel Buchnevich and Jake Neighbors. Zach Bolduc and Kevin Hayes with Kapanen on the third line tonight. And here's what Drew Bannister said about those lineup changes.
The thought process is I really liked the change with Hayes, Bolduc, and Kapanen, and I thought they played well when we made that change towards the end of the second and into the third. I thought they were a real good line. Had Saad and Jakey there with Schenner, but wanted to get Bucci back into the middle, so that was kind of the thought process there.
Coach, you looks like you're going with the same power play setup as you finished last game.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, they had a lot of success in that third period and won the hockey game for us. So I want to go back with that tonight and see how it goes. And hopefully they continue to have the success and move the puck the way they did.
Obviously a challenge for the Blues tonight with Colorado in town. But Drew Bannister likes the way his team has been. Feels like he likes what he thinks he sees here after an off day.
You know, I know for games like this, our guys are going to be ready to go. Obviously, we're disappointed in the way we played. Happy with the result, but the day off, I think, you know, with the schedule we had here in March so far, it's been tough. So I think the day off did us well, and the energy's back in the room, and we'll be ready to go here tonight.
How would you say the difficulty level changes from a team that's a non-playoff team like Anaheim to a team that's a playoff team like Colorado?
I don't think anything really changes. I think everybody has something to play for. I think there's, you know, the Anaheim team, they have young players in there that are trying to prove themselves and guys that are probably looking for contracts next year. And then you have a team in Colorado that's pushing to try and move up in the standings and get that first place. So it's all games are important right now, regardless who you're playing for us, certainly. And certainly tonight is no different. Like, we're going to have to be ready to play against a good hockey team.
No question about that. As I said, challenge tonight. I do think the schedule gets a little easier for the Blues as they go along over the last week here in the month. They will see Vegas, who they are directly chasing right now for that final wild card spot. They've also got some other teams. They've got teams that are below them in the standings as well. They have an opportunity to make up some points. One of the guys, obviously, key to that, that's always going to be key to that, is Robert Thomas. And Drew Bannister talked about Thomas this morning as well.
Well, he's had a lot of matchups that are tough. So this is just another one. And I feel like he's risen to the occasion when you know, he's had those opportunities, whether it's McDavid and Edmonton. I feel like he's really stepped up his game. So I would imagine that he's going to come here and play hard tonight.
We would imagine the same thing. Of course, he's on the top line with Braden Schenn and Jordan Kyrou, as expected. Finally, from Drew Bannister, the big key to tonight.
Yeah, and I think that's a big piece to it too, is our back end being able to defend against players like McKinnon, like Granton. And so there's, you know, certainly that aspect we're going to have to defend as a unit of five here tonight against those players.
The pair of Barrico and Lilly, they played the most 5 minutes together of any pair in the league this year. I know Colton's getting a lot of credit.
Yeah, I think Leds has played, you know, and I, you know, whether he doesn't get enough credit or not, he should. But I think the pairing as itself has been really, really good for us. And certainly since I've been here, that's one pairing we stuck with, and they played well together.
There you go. A little bit from Drew Bannister from the morning skate here earlier today. And the Blues get underway against the Avalanche coming up at 7 o'clock. That one is a national TV game tonight. I thought that was the case. Maybe it's not. Anyway, 7 o'clock tonight from Enterprise Center. Avalanche come in 91 points. They're near the top, if not tied at the top of the Central Division. We are going to get into some baseball talk. Rob Raines is on deck for us. He'll join us on the other side of the break. We'll talk about the Cardinals. They got a big win today, really out-slugging the Marlins. Not a great pitched game, but they did okay offensively. We'll talk about Cardinals coming up with Rob Raines. I'm Joe Pott, in for Matt Pauly. The Gray Bar Sports Open Line continues after this on Camo X.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This is America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Well, hopefully that gets you in the baseball mood. I don't know if people need to be gotten in the baseball mood right now, right? Like, most people are already there. We're already ready. It's 8 days away from regular season baseball here in St. Louis. But the lovely sounds of the late, great Ernie Hayes there on the organ. That's game time. That's what that's called. Game time. Right? Game time. We're going to talk some Cardinals baseball right now. Rob Raines is waiting to chat with us from STLSportsPage.com. Good evening, Rob. Thanks for some time.
My pleasure, Joe. How are you?
I am doing well. Are you in Jupiter currently?
I am.
You are in Jupiter currently. Great. So a little bit of a slugfest today. Not necessarily a great start from Kyle Gibson, but a win nonetheless, and maybe some good offense today. Good swing of the bat from Dylan Carlson.
Yeah, big swing. He and Contreras both had big, three-run doubles, and that was very, very good to see. The offense was clicking, but I think the thing about Gibson is too, and we talked to him after the game, and he's not, you know, obviously wishes he had better performances and numbers-wise in spring training. The best game he pitched was one that didn't count because it was back here on the backfield against his own team last week, and he said he pitched really well. But, you know, that he feels good and he feels physically fine, which he said obviously is the way he's choosing to look at it. You know, there's some things he's still working on in the spring that he probably wouldn't do in a game, you know, pitch sequencing and you know, types of pitches he was throwing and that kind of stuff. So he'll have one more start down here on Sunday, the final game down here before they head to Arizona, and then, you know, we'll pitch obviously one of those first four games of the season in Los Angeles. So we'll just hopefully he'll be able to, you know, get everything clicking when we get the season started out there.
And I get that, and I certainly didn't mean to, you know, lead anything or look into anything too deep in a spring training start. And I think honestly, the way he's looking at it, healthy, feeling good, and as we know, even already in 2024, that's a big deal with the 2024. Yeah. St. Louis Cardinals. What do we know about Sonny Gray? I know he's thrown a couple of bullpens. Any update on how he's feeling?
Yeah, the latest is that he's going to schedule to throw a live batting practice. We expect it to be on Thursday. And then I think if that goes well, I think you're probably going to see him start one of those two games in Arizona on Monday or Tuesday. And then their hope is that obviously he's not pitching opening day, but their hope is that he'll be good enough and come out of that well enough that they won't have to put him on the injured list. They'll be able to pitch at some point, you know, in that first, you know, turn through the rotation on the West Coast. He just won't be on opening day. So that's their hope. And I think their expectation based on how he's, you know, says he's felt after the first couple of bullpen sessions that he's had.
I mean, that's,
we'll know a lot more after Thursday.
And that honestly feels like a best case scenario, right? From when we go from, hey, I'm not going to pitch opening day because of a hamstring strain, but now telling us that it's probably still going to be first turn in the rotation. That's a pretty good thing.
Yeah, it's really not even a missing a start.
Right.
You know, it's just kind of pushing your start back a little bit. So I think that is the best case scenario. And I think they thought at the time that it was not that bad, that they caught it quickly enough, you know, that, you know, that they'd have time, you know, and it was early enough in the spring. What was it, March the 8th or something like that? You know, I mean, it was almost a month, you know, not quite a month until opening day. So I think that they're hopeful that he'll be able to rebound. And even if he can't go, you know, the one downside is probably he won't have enough time to get his pitch count up to, you know, the 85 to 90 pitches where they like most of the starters to be at the end of spring. But even if he gives you 60 pitches, you know, in that first time through, you know, that's probably going to be okay.
Rob Raines with us here from STLSportsPage.com. Rob, what about now position players? I know that things aren't going great, at least that we understand for Tommy Edman, but what about Lars Nootbaar? Progress there?
He claims he's progressing, but again, he's been cleared to throw, and they started that, Sunday, I guess it was, before the day off on Monday, and he says he feels better, but he still has not been cleared to swing. So I think that there's really not any chance that you'll see him on the opening day roster either. I think how long he's out after that is you know, to be determined, but my guess is, you know, probably another couple weeks. I would think, you know, he has to play at that point, probably go and play a few, you know, a couple minor league rehab games just to get his swing back and things like that, even after he starts to swing. So I'm guessing if you see him by the start of that homestand in St. Louis, that's probably the best case scenario for him.
Yeah, that's kind of how it certainly felt. So how do you see the outfield shaking out then without Tommy Edman, obviously, and without Nootbaar?
That's the million-dollar question. And it, I mean, you know, Victor Scott II has had a great spring. He's really impressed the Cardinals, opened their eyes both. I mean, not necessarily opened eyes because they knew how good a prospect he was. I think he just maybe surprised them a little bit by how quickly he's kind of, you know, prove that he can be at this level of the league and the level of the play, both offensively and defensively. He had a great game today. He made a diving catch in the outfield, beat out a bunt single. You know, he just does all the little things that you want a guy to do. But then again, you know, Dylan's coming. Carlson has played better, I think, and they're happy with how he's progressing, especially, you know he can play defense, and they still feel confident in him batting right-handed. It's still the left-handed that's the work in progress. He feels like he's making progress, and Cardinals seem to be at least saying publicly that they think he's headed in the right direction. So if I had to you know, wager a milkshake on it sitting here today, I would bet that Scott starts the year in Memphis just the way that they kind of projected all along. Probably because the only thing I would say that might change that is if they, for some reason between now and opening day, don't think that Edman's going to be back, you know, for an extended period of time. If whatever they get, some kind of a new report on his wrist or something that says, hey, it's not healing, you know, better than we thought it would, he's going to be, you know, out 2 months. And I'm just saying hypothetically, I don't know that for sure. But that would change the picture, I think. But if they think it's only going to be a couple of weeks or maybe even a month, I just think they don't want to rush Scott and put him in there when they have some options. If Carlson's healthy, Burleson has had a good spring. You could you know, he keeps Neani as your extra outfielder. He's already on the 40-man roster. You know Donovan could play left field if you needed him to do that. So I think that they could cover those, two positions, especially then again if Newport's only going to be out for a week or so. You know, that my guess is that that's the way they go, but we'll find out.
Yeah, the Tommy Edmund injury worries me more than anything, really, because it feels like not only has there not been much progression, but in fact maybe some regression since the spring started. So I think that'll be.
Yeah, it seemed like when he did try to swing, he said, "This one's going to hurt," and that's not a good sign. So right. Yeah, he's just doing some minor weightlifting and some conditioning and stuff like that, but no real baseball activities right now. So I think you got to count on him being out for at least the month of April, and whether it goes beyond that or not, we'll have to find out.
Rob Raines with us, and Rob. You've covered the Cardinals for such a long time, and I know, other than just, the game story, the beat writing stuff, there's the feature writing stuff that I think anybody that is covering a team likes to dig into that. I saw a story last week. I put it out on Twitter. I was commenting on it, but the Matt Carpenter piece that you had kind of about his shifting role, not just with this team, but kind of where he is in his career was really fascinating to me because I think, you hear so much about, oh, how are we bringing back Matt Carpenter? What's the reason? And the Cardinals have said as much about the composition of this clubhouse, and Matt Carpenter can be a key piece, and you kind of outlined that.
Yeah, well, thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, he was very open about it and what he thought his thought process was. I admit, when they signed him, I was surprised too.
Sure.
we all were, why are we doing this? But I think, the more you see, and he's actually had a really good spring playing-wise too. And I think maybe part of the reason for that is because he's not really putting any pressure on himself. He said, the last thing I'm worried about is myself right now. I'm trying to think and talk about myself as little as possible. So you talk to a lot of the young guys about him, and they say he's been a really valuable, resource to them. So, and the thing about this team, too, is when you look at the roster and you look at the guys that you're probably going to be playing, in the regular lineup on most occasions, I don't know with the DH, I don't know how many pinch hit opportunities there really going to be, on a nightly basis. Not like the old days where you had to, have three pinch hitters available whenever the pitcher's turn came up in the order, for the last, seven batters of the game,
yeah.
So I think that changes how you have to put a bench together. And, he's going to get some spot starts at DH. He probably will even play a few games at first base, and there probably will be some games that he comes up to bat off the bench. But the role is going to be more of a mentor role, and then just kind of chip in a little bit off the field. But, yeah, that's the kind of stuff I enjoy doing, that and some of the other stuff we've been able to do down here in the spring. So I appreciate you saying that.
Yeah, no question about it. I appreciate you taking some time tonight. It's been good to catch up. Enjoy the final week in Jupiter or whatever time you've got left. Certainly, we'll keep reading, and I appreciate you catching up.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Rob Raines with us from stlsportspage.com. Real nice job covering the Cardinals, like I said. Just getting some of those stories as well, maybe that you're not going to get all the outlets. So it was really cool to hear that. We will switch it up again. We'll talk a little Mizzou spring football. We'll talk some NCAA tournament. All of that coming up. Randy Mullman will join us on the other side of the break. It's the Graybar Sports Open Line. I'm Joe Pott in for Matt Pauly, and we'll come back on KMOX. KMOX. Well, those are the dulcet tones of Randy Mullman, the PA voice of Memorial Stadium, Froh Field at Missouri. And he joins us now here on the guest line. Joe Pott with you. It is Graybar Sports Open Line. I'm in for Matt Pauly. And good evening, Randy. How are you?
Thanks for having me on, Joe. I appreciate it.
Of course. No, we love it. We're glad to talk. We could talk a multitude of St. Louis sports with Randy. Let's talk, though, about some Mizzou football. You had the spring game on Saturday. Anything big that we learned? What did you take out of the spring game that I think finished 10-9? Is that the final?
Yeah, 10-9. And I think it's anytime it's early in practice, they talk about it in the NFL, they talk about it in college football, the defense is almost always ahead of the offense. And even with new defensive coordinator Corey Batoon coming in, the defense looked really good on both sides of the ball. And the other thing about the spring game, too, is it's what I like to call a quick whistle game. They don't.
Sure.
You're not seeing a lot of defensive players blowing up offensive players. There's not a lot of hard tackling. The minute somebody gets touched, there's a whistle. so it's hard to really determine, because there's a couple of position groups, Joe, that I was really interested in seeing coming in. I mean, if you're talking about on offense, the running backs, right? Your Cody Schrader retires, 1,600 yards, 14 touchdowns. He was your bell cow. And so, what are they going to do to replace Cody Schrader? They've got a transfer coming in named Nate Noel. He's from Appalachian State, 3,000 yards in his career there, 5.5 yards per carry, 18 touchdowns. So he's got a lot of carries under his belt. Marcus Carroll, the transfer from Georgia State, comes in, and Marcus Carroll rushed for over 2,000 in his career. So you've got two running backs that are coming in with a lot of experience. It was just really hard to tell, because, as you know, at the running back position, they break tackles, they make cuts. And so if you're going to have that quick whistle game, it's hard to see what they can do after first contact. I would be remiss if I didn't say Jamal Roberts from St. Mary's here in St. Louis is on that depth chart. Tavoris Jones from Texas was a big-time recruit. And then Michael Cox, who's still in the program, he is a 6'1", 225-pound tailback. He's the type of size that you don't see typically with Mizzou running backs, and he could be a weapon in the short yardage game. But it was just real hard to tell in the spring game if those running backs, what they're going to bring to the table when you have such quick whistles.
You mentioned some of the coaching change, right? So what kind of effect, or do you expect it to be a major effect on this team?
I do think the new defensive coordinator is going to bring, obviously, his own system, mm-hmm. and his own Coach Batoon will bring his own system and his own it'll be a different play call cadence. So everything will change from that regard. I'm not sure how much he will retain from Blake Baker's system, but the defense is going through an overhaul. I mean, you've got several players on that defensive side that are going to the NFL, especially from the defensive back position. But I can tell you, one of the things you can really get a good handle on in the spring game is the passing game, the receivers, the D-backs. The Tigers do have a lot of returning players that got a lot of snaps last year, even though they may not have been starters. Joseph Charleston returns. He's a starting safety. He transferred from Clemson a couple of years ago. But Dalen Carnell, a safety linebacker hybrid, Drayden Norwood, a corner, Marcus Clark, a corner, Trevez Johnson, a corner. Marvin Burks Jr. got a lot of time, the sophomore now from Cardinal Ritter. He got a lot of snaps. Philip Roche, I called his name a lot in that game on Saturday. And then you've got Toriano Pride, who is going to buy for a starting spot, the transfer from Clemson. He was an East St. Louis star, and he got a pick in that spring game on Saturday, and he looked really, really good. So Jamarion Wayne is another guy, St. Louis kid, 6'2". He's an athlete. They've been kind of switching him back between safety or corner and wide receiver. He played all defensive back on Saturday, and he was very active in the defensive backfield. So I think that the defensive backs look really good. They've got a lot of experience and some new guys that are going to make some noise, I think.
Fun. That's I like hearing, the St. Louis kids making an impact at Missouri, or the opportunity to make an impact at Missouri. I think that's fantastic, and that's something that, Coach Drinkwitz has said since he's been there.
Yeah, and you get some transfers, right? You got Toriano Pride, who left initially. He's back, quote-unquote home. You've got Sterling Webb, a defensive lineman who played at Westminster here in St. Louis. He transfers back from New Mexico State, where he started a bunch of games. So he'll be active on that defensive line. And I just feel like Coach Drink, if he doesn't get them out of high school, I do think he keeps an eye on them in the portal. You got Caden Green, an offensive lineman, big time, who went from Lee's Summit North, went to Oklahoma, started about half their games last year, and he transfers, comes home to Missouri. He'll most likely start at left guard. So even if, you know, I know Tiger fans, myself included, we get a little bummed out. We see these local great high school kids go somewhere else. That doesn't mean they're not going to come back to Columbia at some point.
Yeah, I think that's that's the way of the world these days. I was talking with someone about, you know, basketball transfers earlier today. Randy Molman's with us here on the Graybar Sports Open Line. Speaking of basketball, the men's tournament getting underway tonight with the first four games. Anybody that you are eyeing up for perhaps an upset, or anybody that you think could make a deep run? I think it's as hard as it's been in any years as far as predicting, like, who might come out of these regions.
For sure. Well, first of all, I know you filled out your bracket. I can tell you, I think UConn, the number one overall seed, has the toughest bracket, in my opinion, out of the East. You've got I really like in the Midwest, I think Creighton. I've got Creighton in my Final Four. I just think they're so balanced. They play a very balanced game. They're always good defensively. And I like Creighton to take Purdue out in that Midwest. Now, some of these first-round upsets, these are the fun ones, right, Joe? Like, I've got four, maybe six first-round upsets. I like in the Midwest, I like McNeese upsetting Gonzaga, okay, the 12 over the 5. McNeese has won 11 in a row. They hold opponents to 61 points per game. I like Samford taking out Kansas, and not just because I'm
also
on the
like,
alum,
right,
Joe.
That's right.
Not just, but I like that game because Kansas has several key injuries, and they've been blown out in two straight games now. And if they don't get healthy,
well, they're
Samford
definitely without Kevin McCullough. They said that I saw saw something come out a few minutes ago from Bill Self. So.
Yeah, so and Samford averages 86 points per game this year. I like Samford to upset Kansas. I like Oregon, the 11, beating South Carolina, the 6. I thought South Carolina was overseeded in that spot. Up in the South, one of the upsets I'm taking is James Madison over
Wisconsin. Yep.
Yep, the 12 and the 5. And I think they'll give Duke a heck of a time in that second-round game. Over in the East, I'm going to go Missouri Valley. I like Drake in that 10-7 matchup against Washington State. And down in the West, I like New Mexico, the 11, taking out Clemson, the 6. I feel like Clemson's another overseeded team, and I'll take them. I don't know who you have in your Final Four, Joe, but I like Iowa State to come out of the East over UConn. I like Houston in the South, Creighton in the Midwest, and North Carolina in the West.
Would you believe I have not yet completed a bracket?
I do not believe that.
I obviously will complete a bracket, at least a bracket, but I have not yet completed any. I've only just kind of been mulling over some of these matchups here.
Joe, if I could ask you a question real quick. I know locally the only real local team that is in the NCAA tournament is Illinois, and you've seen Morehead State play quite a bit in the Ohio Valley. I feel like Morehead, I have Illinois winning that game, but I feel like Morehead State might give them some problems.
I think they can definitely give them a game, but I think Illinois just, man, they score a lot too.
They really do.
But, you know, I mean, I've seen Riley Minnix up close three times this year, and he is so good. I've not seen him have an off game, and he's had very few of them this year, period. I wouldn't sleep on Morehead State, but I do think Illinois gets by the Eagles there in that one.
I do too, but I do think Illinois, it's a tough road for them because Morehead State won't be easy. Then they've got probably BYU in the next game, and they're a top 16 KenPom team. That's going to be tough. And then probably facing Iowa State in the Sweet 16. So Illinois's got they got a tough road to hoe, but they could with the way they score, they could definitely make a run.
Listen, I know you also wanted to talk a little college women's basketball. That tournament obviously getting underway as well, and admittedly not one that I have looked too deeply into some of these matchups.
So I've looked a little bit into it, and I'll say Iowa was the number 2 overall seed with Caitlin Clark, and they have the toughest road. They've got LSU in that bracket. LSU's in that bracket, and UCLA is the 2 seed. That's a tough road for Iowa and Caitlin Clark because if they have to face Angel Reese and LSU in the Elite Eight, a rematch of last year's championship game, I mean, that's tough in the Elite Eight. I do love USC. That freshman, Juju Watkins, is incredible. 6'2", 27 points per game. Her freshman year now, she has scored 810 points. That's more points than Caitlin Clark scored in her freshman year. Yeah, so USC, UConn, I like those two teams getting to the Elite Eight out in that Portland 3 area. South Carolina, I think, is going to make a run all the way to the national championship. They're so good. Dawn Staley's the best coach in college basketball right now. But I do, you know, Nebraska in that region is a 6 seed, and I saw them play Iowa to overtime in the Big Ten championship. And I think Nebraska's got the elements to make a long run. They've got the local kid, Natalie Potts from Incarnate Word, Big Ten Freshman of the Year. I'd like to see, I think Nebraska's going to make a run. And then Texas and Stanford in that other Portland area. But I will say, there's three teams real quick. UNLV, they're 30-2. They've won. They were 17-1 in their conference. They beat Arizona and Oklahoma this year. That's a team to watch. Florida Gulf Coast is 29-4. They were undefeated in the Atlantic Sun. They have a 22-game winning streak. You and I both know Ajulu Tata, the SIUE transfer. She started 29 games for them this year. And so, and Fairfield out of Connecticut, 31-1. They've won 29 in a row. So those mid-range teams could make a little noise in the women's tournament.
Well, I appreciate you educating us on some of those matchups, because, like I said, those are not ones that I've really dug into to any great detail. In fact, I appreciate you just taking some time tonight and getting to chat a little sports with you. I guess what's next for you on the Mizzou front? We get all the way to the fall?
I've got a little break until Mizzou football over the summer, and I'm going to be really excited to watch the transfer portal, obviously, for Mizzou basketball. They already picked up a big-time recruit from UT Martin,
Jacob, who was in the portal.
Yeah, Jacob Cruz, who was averaging 19 a game, and he was one of the better players in the Ohio Valley, and I'm looking forward. Look, you know, you and I are kind of partners at SIUE. I'm really excited to watch SIUE women and men see what they do in the transfer portal and on the recruiting trail this spring and summer.
I was chatting with Coach Sam earlier today in her office, and she was telling me how extreme she had papers everywhere, and she said this is what it's like now with over 300 names in the portal, and she said by next week it'll be like 900 names. So,
you know, Joe, I saw something interesting real quick. You know, I was Division II. I don't know if it was just basketball or all sports, but I saw a stat today, Division II players entering the transfer portal, only 27% of those players are picking up offers. And I don't know if that's to D1 or to another D2 school. Right. Which means I feel like there's got to be some untapped potential at that D2 level, especially for teams in a conference like the Ohio Valley.
Well, I guess we'll see. It's going to be interesting. It is that that's the way of the world these days. I appreciate the time. I do have to let you go, but thanks for joining us here tonight.
Thanks, Joe. Anytime.
Always. Randy Mullman with us here on the Gray Bar Sports Open Line. We'll wrap up the 6 o'clock hour on the other side of the break. Joe Pott with you in for Matt Pauly. Back after this on KMOX.
This is America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
The Gray Bar Sports Open Line for a Tuesday. Joe Pott in for Matt Pauly. Already talked to Rob Raines about Cardinals. Randy Mullman on spring football at Mizzou, plus some NCAA basketball. I do want to let you know that if you have the opportunity, please go check out KMOX Sports on Twitter. We have a poll up there right now. We want to know. I want to know. Matt Pajeski wants to know. Who do you want to see as the Cardinals center fielder? Victor Scott or Dylan Carlson? Or I was talking to Kevin Wheeler earlier on this afternoon, and he was saying it might not necessarily even have to be a choice. It might be an indication or a situation where you ship Dylan Carlson around to left field, and you have them both. I don't know if that's the case. Rob Raines seemed to think that Victor Scott is probably going to start the year in Memphis. That's kind of how I have felt about it. But let me know your thoughts. Vote in the poll. We'll talk about that. I'll get to that in our 7 o'clock hour, probably in our very last segment. We'll be able to take a look at that and kind of parse out some of those results and see what you're thinking. We've had pretty good participation throughout the day. So go there, look at that poll, vote in that poll, and tell us what you think with regards to Victor Scott versus Dylan Carlson. And I will tell you as we get towards the end of the show, kind of my thoughts. And if you were listening last night, I think you probably heard some of my thoughts anyway, but I will tell you again. We'll also get into, in the 7 o'clock hour, we'll get into some St. Louis City SC. They did have their sort of weekly press briefing, a press gathering, and we've got some cuts from Roman Berkey that I think we'll have a chance to get to, but we're also going to talk to Tom Timmerman about where St. Louis City SC is and some injuries that have come up here in the last week, and then really more specifically earlier today as well. So we'll get into that. And then Ken Pomeroy coming up at 7:35 as we'll talk to certainly one of the best college basketball minds out there. He runs KenPom.com, and we'll get into the tournament with him, talk about what he does at KenPom.com. That's coming up at 7:35. The second hour of the Gray Bar Sports Open Line on tap here on KMOX. Joe Pott in for Matt Pauly. We'll come back on the other side of the news right here on KMOX.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.